Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank. Stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome in. Saturday Suckage, like it ought to be. Steve Rosenbloom, Mark Grody with you. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're broadcasting from The Score's Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers, coincidentally enough. And coincidentally enough, right over there is Mark Grody. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Steve? Are the Bulls falling apart? Are they going under? Are they turning back into a pumpkin? What's going on with the Bulls?
Why does Wendell Carter Jr. suck?
He doesn't want to shoot. He doesn't want to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Mike Tomlin talking about Wendell Carter Jr. sucks, and Lowry Markkanen is playing well enough to get traded. There's your front line of the future, right? Your front court of the future. It's like Patrick Williams and your name here and your name here. Watching that last night with the – okay, so both teams are on the second half of a back-to-back. So they're even in fatigue and whatever. And then you figure, okay, here's Jimmy Butler and his revenge tour because it's the Bulls. Well, it turned out to be Dragic who his revenge tour, Derrick Rose dunked on me. I'm going to get 20 in the fourth quarter on you guys. And he does, and the Bulls have 22 as a team. It's like, you guard anybody? Do you understand this is the fourth quarter and it matters? And then Zach LaVine, all-star Zach LaVine, shoots 1-for-4 in the fourth quarter. Maybe that's not enough. But Wendell Carter Jr. sucked, and Lowry Markkanen was the guy with all of the – he comes back very well in consecutive games, and puts up points and can't miss a three, and they lose both of them. Now, I'm sure this is a small sample size, but I don't understand. Do you understand? Can you help me understand what's going on here, Mark?
Well, first of all, I'll go systematically through the things that you were saying. This was the here's what I'm doing, Stacey King, Goran Dragic game, because he asked him years ago, what are you doing, Dragic? And Dragic said, here's what I'm doing. So it was the here's what I'm doing game. Right. Scoring the 20 points in the fourth quarter. Here's what I'm doing, Stacey King. Yeah. And I was glad that Stacey King did mention Goran Dragic. There's something more to the story of the what are you doing, Dragic. I think that I got to go back and watch the tape again or listen to the audio. But and maybe one of you guys heard, but Stacey King was referring to that dunk call and that particular game, which was against Phoenix when Dragic was with the Suns. And apparently, did Dragic have a technical in that game at some point in time? So I think that there was like some extra tension that had built between broadcaster and player, and then what are you doing? You can't guard Derrick Rose. He's from Chicago. So there was something more to it, and I need to find that out. But yeah,
makes no sense.
None
zero
at all.
Sense. He's from Chicago. You can't. Why? I'm sorry.
He's
connect
from
the dots
Chicago.
Stacey, that doesn't make any sense.
He was good though. Goran Dragic was really good. The Wendell Carter thing is interesting because, again, and I will insert Stacey King once again. Stacey King went on a little rant about him imploring Wendell Carter to shoot the basketball. He even said, and I don't think I've ever heard an analyst say this, all the other stuff he's doing, setting the screens and the picks and doing the dirt, that's all great and all, but he needs to shoot more. Like, I've never seen like that from that standpoint in a long time, players that are afraid to shoot. And Wendell Carter was 1-for-5 from the field last night. 1-for-5. For four mm-hmm. points, and then he admitted that he kind of is regressing, and I don't think he knows where he is offensively right now.
Well, he admitted he has zero confidence, and he has zero.
Yeah.
He has no clue what he's doing. You know, he was not playing against Bam Adebayo. He was playing against Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, and you got torn up in the paint. The Bulls got torn up in the paint, and this was just as embarrassing as the way the Sixers did it. But where the Bulls gave up, I think it was 738 points in the paint against the Sixers. It's just this, I don't know what they're doing, but I know what's going on is what you expect from a team this uneven. And I know why this bothers me is this is a new regime, and especially a new coach, showing you, or to that point, to the All-Star break, showing you a whole lot of things about how to coach, how to improve players. Far better than last year where Jim Boylan, the Michelin man, had no clue how to coach or what he was doing. He was getting full support from Paxson, from Gar, from Michael Reinsdorf. I mean, it was the national twit convention because you're supporting this guy who doesn't know what he's doing. And then Billy Donovan comes in with a new regime and they're looking at him, and you look at what it bothers me because there had been such a spike in improvement. What you saw in the opening game against Atlanta was like, oh my God, you might as well have Jim Boylan here. Why are you spending all the money on people who were smart, were supposedly smart? Then you saw a development. And then that game, these two games really remind me of what I had. I was allowed to raise my expectations because this was a real coach coaching real things with a real future. He took... Remember what Bum Phillips said about Don Shula? He can take hisn and beat urine, and he can take urine and beat hisn. And Bum Phillips is talking about what a real coach can do. And Billy Donovan took Jim Boylan's players, John Pax's players, Gar Forma's players, who sucked the year before and made the players. And that's the way they looked at it. And they had an all-star this year, and And that's what really bothers me when you see them lose a game to Miami. And now they're two games worse than when Billy Donovan said, we're still a losing team. That's just sort of all the roiling frustrations. I don't know where you are in this, but I'm going through this stream of consciousness. Like, this bothers me. I know why it bothers me. How come it's bothering me? What else can I talk about? Because this is bothering me. Does it bother you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's like specific, even if you want to narrow it down to a development thing and you're not really, because I am at that point where I am not looking at the standings yet in the Eastern Conference with any real earnest, like I look at them just to be informed, but I don't really care or think about the playoffs of this season. I do think about development and what configuration of Bulls is going to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, all that kind of stuff. So when against Philadelphia, I hear Billy Donovan say something as damning as that was a huge step backwards. Like, that's pretty hefty, man. That's not your rank and file critique right there. Huge step backwards. You know what I mean? Like, that's on everybody. I mean, that's even putting it on the coach a little bit. Like, you gotta recover from something like that. And it was. I mean, the Philadelphia game bothered me more. And, you know, for the obvious reasons that they're without Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But then they just get their asses kicked in the paint. 78-42, something like that. You know, Dwight Howard looking like, you know, Orlando Magic number one pick Dwight Howard. Different haircut. Yeah. Dwight Howard in that game, right? And then it seems like every Bulls turnover that's committed, and they had 19 of them, every single turnover this year has been converted into a basket. And that's just, that's sloppy and lazy, right? So you have turnovers and getting beat up in the paint. That's sloppy and that's lazy. So those are damning things for a team. And yeah, so those kinds of things bother me. And then when we see like Wendell Carter Jr., and I feel like everybody's on a time clock this year trying to prove themselves that they belong with this organization. Wendell Carter Jr. has not done a great job of proving that so far this year. There's been just so many. He's been trying to find himself since he got to the Bulls, and it's not necessarily better under Billy Donovan.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. We are Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. And speaking of that, by the way, I looked at the standings because I wanted to see just where they were at 16 and 20. Remember in 16 and 18 when people were trying to have Billy Donovan throw roses, rose petals at the feet of his players. Like, did you imagine you could be like this at the beginning of the season when you took over and nobody had much hope and we still have a losing record?
Yeah.
And that was his answer, right? And that really solid. And now they have a losing record worse by two games. But I looked at it. At 16 and 20, they're tied with the Pacers. And that is for the 10th spot, which is the fourth play-in spot in the playoffs. That's what the 10th place is. And if they secure that right now, they would play Tom Thibodeau's Knicks.
Oh, man.
That would be a thing.
If
NCAA, the committee would set that up. That would be the first round matchup. But this is the NBA, so the referees and the league can conspire to make sure this happens if that's what TV wants, since nobody trusts the NBA in any honest way. So it still could happen.
Like, hey, if they tell me, if Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnišovas honestly believe it's good for, if they subscribe to the theory of it's good for a young team to make the playoffs no matter what the scenario is, then more power to you. I care more about the development, and because unless you look at this team and say, yeah, that's the team that's going to be going to the Eastern Conference Finals again someday, a team that's going to make a deep playoff run with these players, unless you say that, then you got to just hope for what's coming in the coming years and try not to worry so much about this year. And you are right, man. The with Billy Donovan saying what he said, look, 16 and 18, what are you guys talking about? That's not good. That's not good. That's bad, no. As a matter of fact.
Yes.
Like, it everything's sucks. Relative. Because and he's got to understand, though, where we are, when I say we, media and fans, are coming from. This is all relative, right? It's all, like, based on the former coach and how bad the organization was perceived mm-hmm. for the last few years before he got here. So I guess, relatively speaking, yeah, it's pretty amazing. And who would have thought that? Nobody thought they would be 16 and 18. But thank God there's a guy who has perspective of, you know, being objective and neutral and saying, hey, guys, under 500 sucks.
And compare that with Jim Boylan last year. They say, well, I don't care what my record is. You know what? I'm here to make these guys better. And the idiot has a time clock, and he's doing push-ups with his team, and he just does everything. He clowned the organization that was too stupid to know how much it was getting clowned, how embarrassing it was. And the Billy Donovan comes in. He's the adult in the room. This is not a substitute teacher. This is the guy. He's going to be here for the – he's got tenure. This professor has tenure. So wake up. And that's the way it goes. And just by comparison, you know, when the Bulls do that, and it reminded me of when the Hawks did that in the first game against Dallas. They came back to win 4-2 the other night. But in that first game against the Stars, they got beat 6-1. And it was like, and, you know, everybody wanted to empty the magazine, get rid of the goalie, trade everybody, do all that. And we didn't expect much from either team this year. The fact that you saw such outrage about the Hawks show how much they raised certain expectations, that it was the aberration, that kind of game. It wasn't close. But the Bulls now have shown you that they've and the Bulls game in Philadelphia is more troubling, because when the Blackhawks sucked, they came back and won the next night. They won 4-2. Like you said, when Billy said the game against the Sixers was a big step backwards, and what did they do? They collapsed in the fourth quarter. They fell apart. They choked in that game against that team, and they had a whole lot going for them. All right. Well, you know what? We'll talk to Cody Westerlund, The Score. He covers the Bulls for The Score. We'll do that at noon. At 1 o'clock, Grobber. We're going to talk to Grobber, Mark, at 1 o'clock.
Oh, there's been some Grobber confusion today. I don't know if you've been informed of this by the Trash Panda or not. Have you?
No.
Okay, so here's the dealio.
Did he book the wrong? Did we have another guy booking the wrong Wayne?
No. Trash Panda didn't do anything wrong. I actually probably added to the confusion because I'm doing a show tomorrow morning. Okay, I'm on 9 to noon, and I talked to Grobber because it was his birthday. He turned 69. Nice. And so I called the Grobber to wish him happy birthday. And by the end of the conversation, I had booked him on the Sunday show. So I said, so Les is coming out with me tomorrow at 11. And Trash Panda, this is where you come in. What happened today with the booking situation?
So about 10 o'clock, I'm working, you know, inside the clubhouse like I do pretty much every Saturday, and I get a call, and I notice it's Grobber's number calling not like the call-in line, like the studio line, the one
at
that's 10 like...
10 o'clock.
Yes.
10 o'clock. Right,
10 o'clock.
This morning.
And he's seemingly under the impression that he's getting ready to go on with you, Grody. And
wait,
I'm like, and I said, because wait, I had Mark, called wait. Him, I called him last night at around 8:30 or so and said, hey, Les, can you come on at 1 o'clock today? So as in Saturday, like 1 o'clock tomorrow. And he calls at 10 o'clock today. And I was like, oh yeah, we're going to have you on at 1 o'clock. Was like, oh, I think you were thinking tomorrow with Grody. And so apparently that's supposed to be at 11 tomorrow.
Right, tomorrow. So now we're going to have to straighten him
out
on that.
He called me at 10 o'clock today thinking that maybe there was a spot for 11 o'clock tomorrow when he's supposed to be on at 1 o'clock today.
So Les turned his clock ahead a day. Is that what you're telling me?
I think so. He might have.
The funny part is, yeah, he was prepping for...
Just put him on the air whenever he calls, Trash Panda. It does not matter
Well, the thing is, we were supposed to have a guest coming up and inside the clubhouse. I can't just put him on air. hey, Bruce and
guest?
David, you guys want to talk to Les? Here you go.
Yeah.
What are we talking to Les about today? Because I want to separate...
Here's what it's all about.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
because when interim Mayor Lightfoot announced that 20% capacity for the baseball.
The mayor's got the interim tag now, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
I love
it. God, I don't know anything. Yeah, interim is being kind at this point. Wow. Anyways, the interim mayor said that the baseball teams could have 20% capacity for starters. So the 80-20 percentages reminded me of Lee Elia's rant, where he said 85% of the city works and 15%, the other 15% come down here to boo our asses or whatever, however he said it.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, oh my God, what a great opportunity. We should call that. I tweeted out, the Cubs should call this the Lee Elia ticket plan. What do you have? 80% of the people can't get in, but 20 can. And I thought, well, we should have Les do this. Because you can't play the Lee Elia rant enough, and less.
I hope we get hotter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. That's
and
perfect.
So I wanted Les on to. I want to run this idea by him and tell the story, and it's Les. Come on, we want to talk sports with Les. So yeah.
All right, no, that's perfect because I'm having him on, and I had forgotten that we talked about it, so it's my fault, but. But I'm having him on to talk about college basketball tomorrow, so this is perfect. So the powers of Grobber have been separated, and we think he's going to... What time is he supposed to be on with us? 1 o'clock.
Say? 1 o'clock.
All right. So if we're lucky, Grobber on at 1 today, and then 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we'll all just
hold
on to your butts. Yeah.
Whenever he calls.
Yeah, whenever he calls. Exactly.
Yeah. So I gotta say there was so much went on that wasn't that this week. I'm thinking. Let me run this by you since we know there's no sense having a planning meeting anywhere but on the air.
Yeah.
So I got to imagine that what Mark heard, our nearly award-winning segment, has a variety, sort of as Terry Bores would say, spraying to all fields. I have to imagine that's what Mark heard, and I would. Think that this would be a good time to sort of set the table. Am I right? Am I wrong?
We could definitely set the table a little bit here on what Mark okay. heard. Hold on a second. Let me just open up the file on my computer here.
Okay. Or we could, yeah.
Yeah, so you want me to tell you who is coming up on what Mark heard?
No. I just wanted to know we'll take a break. And we come back, we'll see what we can get in the rest of the hour, because I think there's a variety of things that we can talk
there
about.
Is.
If need be, we'll carry into the 12 o'clock hour after we could do what Mark heard every hour and what Mark heard.
All right, so we're doing what Mark heard next is what you're saying.
I am saying that.
Okay,
I got you. If it's okay with you, because you're Mark.
No. That's perfect. I just didn't know what you were getting at. I didn't know if you wanted me to promote it for later. You could have just said, hey, Mark, you want to do what Mark heard next? And then,
I could have
then
done
there
that.
Would be. Yeah.
But it wouldn't be Saturday suckage if it were that neat and clean. So that's the way we roll here.
Yeah.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. It's Saturday suckage. Of course it is. Chicago Sports Radio 6. Oh, and what Mark heard is next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams.
at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, we're all striving to be Homer Simpson. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. This is Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. And this is our nearly award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. Mark, tell us what Mark heard this week.
Yo, give me the microphone. I got it in my hand now. And time for first, here's Les Grobstein. Les? Oh, I thought we had Les. Nope, not yet. Okay. Les
whenever
coming
he calls
on,
in, yeah.
We think, at 1 o'clock and then tomorrow again at 11 o'clock. Hey, you know what?
No,
you,
what?
Me, and Les, we're all for the weekends, man. We're all in this together. So, all right, here we go. What Mark heard. The first one that we're going to talk about, this goes to earlier in the week, and I know that, Steve, you and I both heard this and both enjoyed it, so it's something that Steve and I both heard, dirty little secret, that Jason Hayward was a guest on the Lawrence Holmes show and was talking about his connection to, his friendship with, his acquaintanceship with one Hank Aaron. Take a listen to this.
I was able to see Hank do a lot of special things before I even got to pro baseball, right, growing up in Georgia, not far from Atlanta. I think it really hit me as far as him being a huge icon and what he's meant to the world, our country, of course, but the world, and moving things along for civil rights and equality when I got to see him hand the Olympic torch off to Muhammad Ali in Atlanta. And that's a moment I'll never forget in my life. But then having a chance to come up through the Braves system, to be able to be pulled off to the side privately by Hank and have him approach me and just, you know, just want to talk and just kind of foreshadow some things for me. Let me know this is how certain things are going to look. This is how things are going to feel when you step out on the field for the first time. You know, enjoy that. This is the same game you've always loved. Play that and never lose sight of why you started playing. But also realize that you're an African-American. You know, you're a black baseball player. You're from where you're from. You understand how the South is. You know, certain things are going to be tough. Certain things are going to be tougher than others, and you didn't ask for that. And sometimes, no, people are going to treat you how they treat you just because of who you are, and sometimes you're going to get treated other ways because of the color of your skin. But don't shy away from certain things. You know, still have conversations, still be yourself, still be a great teammate, still love and respect the game that you love, and go out there and not take any of those moments for granted. And just hearing those words before I was even able to set foot on a major league field, you know, help me have a clear picture on okay, yeah, you've loved this game since you were 5 years old, and you played it. You strive for this goal to be a Major League Baseball player, but now here's some more reality. And it was a, you know, it was a father figure type, you know, moment for me. And then before opening day happened, you know, getting to talk to Hank leading up to that game. If anything, I know there were a lot of nerves when it comes down to someone playing their first major league game. You know, opening up at home, 30 minutes from where I grew up, packed house playing the Cubs. Right, all these things going on. I mean, also people talk a lot about the hype and the media at the time for someone like myself at 20 years old. Hank helped me stay calm and all that because it was like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, you're about to go out here and play this game. Oh, you're gonna, you know, I'd love to have you catch the first pitch. The Braves set that up, but for me, you know, that can be a lot to ask of a 20-year-old kid who hasn't played a game in the major leagues yet. But the fact that I was able to catch that pitch from Hank Aaron, everything felt normal. Everything felt like I'm a kid. I'm getting to catch the ball from an idol, and that I can go play this game I love in front of someone like himself, and then everything else will be at peace. So just being able to be touched by Hank before and after starting my baseball career, it's something I'll never take for granted.
Does it even feel real? Like, because when you think about it, like, that guy is such a legend. You were friends with that guy. Like, it's such a strange thing.
No, it is strange. You know, that's a part of the game, and those are kind of parts of this game that I feel like, you know, is the humbling part of. On the side, like, there's a lot of tough things about baseball. There's a lot of tough things about the business side of any aspect of entertainment in an industry. You can't please everyone. There's going to be things that, well, people come at you, all that stuff. But things like having an opportunity to, you know, be alongside Hank Aaron, play in the stadium that, you know, again, like I said, the Olympic torch, you know, he was a part of that ceremony. Having his 715th home run baseball be a picture on the backside of the batter's eye when you're approaching the stadium. Just feeling his presence and aura in Atlanta was a special thing. So no, it doesn't feel real. It's still, you know, wild to think that he's gone, you know, along with a few other Braves, you know, legends that have just passed recently. But again, it makes it all worth it in the grand scheme of, you know, how hard it is to play this game.
Pretty cool. Jason Hayward of the Cubs right there on the Lawrence Holmes show earlier this week talking about the great Hank Aaron. And basically, Steve, the way I heard it was Hank Aaron telling Jason Hayward, hey, this is going to be great, but it's also going to be terrible sometimes. Try to enjoy this, but it's not all going to be particularly enjoyable. What did you get out of that?
Yeah, the idea that a man who, you know, a black man deep in the South the single greatest sports record ever held by, and it was held by a white person, and was mobbed and cheered and survived threats on his family and had to have FBI follow him, cover him, take him, run misdirection plays for people who have threatened his life. And that's the guy telling 20-year-old Jason Hayward, who had idolized Aaron growing up, as he said, in Georgia, and just, sit down, let's talk. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I mean, it's like a human Valium. You're just, if you're Jason Hayward, you soak it all in. And I think that's what is. And by the way, he homered that opening game. He came up and homered, and it was off Carlos Zambrano.
Of course it was.
The J.A. kid homered against the Cubs. It's just a reason that he's, if you've ever had the chance to talk to him as we did, not just listen to him, but be around him, there was a reason that he needed to be the guy during the rain delay in 2016 in Cleveland. And he was. And they responded. He's that kind of human being, that kind of leader, that kind of team player. It's not a coincidence, it's not dumb luck that he was the guy making that speech. I don't think he made a lot of speeches, went around. I don't think he went around the locker room doing a whole lot of yelling throughout the year. But that, when it was needed, and that's just the way he the way he acts. I think this is wonderful. I love hearing guys talk about their idols that way, because there's such love in Jason Hayward's words and voice. That's what I got out of it.
You know what? Like Jason Hayward has, he's overcome, I think, the massive expectations that came with the $184 million contract that he got for forever years. And for years, and I think fans are over it now, they expected him to be that, and they should have. And he had a good year last year, but he's never really lived up to the contract in terms of the way he's played the game. But he's one of those rare guys who I think is falling into this great role of being accepted by fans as what he is, a great outfielder, a decent offensive player, but a huge leader, a voice of the team, a voice of social consciousness. Like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody kind of recover in this town from the big, making the big bucks and then allowing a guy. And he's still going to take criticism from plenty of fans. There's probably fans right now pounding their fists on their steering wheel saying that, you know, the Cubs should have never signed him. But am I making sense? Like, he's sort of gotten past that and over that, and he is an accepted person on the Cubs, even though he hasn't lived up to the contract. Does that sound right,
yeah,
or no?
Yeah, it does. But I think a better prism might be this, that everything you said is true. He signed a big money contract. It was hard to live up to. He had on the field, at the plate, let's just leave it at the plate, because okay, on the field he was a Gold Glove outfielder.
Yeah.
But at the plate, he didn't come close to, he shouldn't have even been allowed to look at those contract numbers. That's how bad it was by comparison.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's what made what he said that rainy night in Cleveland all the more powerful.
Yeah.
Because as he was going through it, everybody in that clubhouse looked at him and saw the way he carried himself, saw the way he handled himself, saw the way he worked to get better, saw the way he dealt with it, and he was always ready. That was what he was going to do, the player he was going to be. That's what got him to that point. So they had massive respect watching this guy go through these kinds of struggles. And then his words meant even more. This is this guy saying to us, he knows what it's like to come back from things that are so difficult. And I think that was what you said was all true. Looked at the prism through his teammates, the way they've talked about him, the way players have told those tales, that it meant so much by his failing at the plate and his still being excellent in the field.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different, man. And I was there, Cubs 15, 16, and 17. So I covered a lot of Jason Hayward. And I could tell you that when he was struggling mightily in 2016, the World Series year, when he was a 4-3 machine. He'd ground out to second base. And
yeah,
and they didn't know what to do with him in the lineup. And, you know, do you replace him in the playoff? Like, all of this. And he was always a leader in that clubhouse. Like, I always talk about, like, I've kind of been reformed a little bit over the importance of leadership, because I used to completely discount it. But then having been around that Cubs team and seeing how it worked on the road, on airplanes, in hotels, and like, okay, I'm starting to get this, because I saw it with David Ross, the player, and I saw it with Jason Hayward, you know? It wasn't Rizzo. And, you know, it was more Lester and, you know, Rizzo, very popular figure there, very respected. But the vocal leader, the guys who were always available to me, Jason Hayward. And even and half the time we were like, dude, why'd you ground out again? You know? He was like, I don't know.
Just stop grounding out, right.
Yeah, like, we'd have to ask him these questions that suck. Why are you one for your last 13? And he was right there, always right there to answer them and talk about other people. Like, he wanted to be a leader in that clubhouse, and he was. And I think that he is one of the rare athletes in Chicago sports history who has kind of overcome that. But we can get more into that at some other time. Hey, you know what? Maybe I'll get more into that tomorrow, Steve, when I'm hosting a show all alone from 9 o'clock until noon tomorrow.
You just
score.
Work around whenever Les picks up the phone to call you. I think Les is. We hope Les picks up the phone at 1 o'clock to call us. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more of What Mark Heard. We have more, and I think this may be our first two-hour What Mark Heard. We may be carrying this into the... Because the thing I love about this segment is that here's something that you found, you heard, that somebody said on The Score, and it's worth a greater discussion to bring it back. And that's what we did. And I certainly, we both agreed on Jason Hayward. And you know what? There are similarities. One last word, one last thought on that locker room clubhouse presence. We talked last week about the retirement of Brent Seabrook and how in the block, he was not one of the lettered guys, but he was the sergeant at arms in that dressing room, in that locker room. And the same would hold true, the respect that Jason Hayward has. So when he says something, he's looked at whether he says nothing or whether he says something. He is someone who has been emulated by the players there. And it takes a lot of different types to make a clubhouse or a dressing room work. And that's what we've seen from the championship teams here. So, all right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, there'll be more of what Mark Heard, because Mark heard so much this week.
Oh,
and we just
God.
Love talking about it. Right?
Yes.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, Steve. Yep. And
right.
and it will deal
and
with Bears.
Bears.
And
Bears.
White Sox.
White Sox. All right. So there you go. Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome to You Heard with Herb.
No, it's what Mark heard. That's what
That's
we
right.
heard. You heard us. You heard us, damn it. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. And we're doing our nearly award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. And Mark, what's next?
I was thinking about this during the break, by the way. What is the better of, in the realm of what are you doing? What is better? What are you doing, Dragic, or what are you doing, Wegner?
What are you doing, Wegner, made more sense. What are you doing, Dragic? Well, he's trying to protect the rim. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Wegner was a legitimately interesting question. And then the idea, and then the follow-up that he's from Chicago. You can't guard him. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. That makes no sense. I understand the deliriousness of watching a posterizing play, but the dots don't connect with me. So what
it's
are you
like
doing?
It's like Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard, he's from the South Side. He's not going to take that crap, so he's going to come after the opposing team's coach. That's just the way it goes. All right, you ready?
Okay.
Let's get back to what Mark heard, one of the signature segments on this here show. All right. Did you get a chance, Stevie Sunshine, to hear Don Cooper on our afternoon show earlier this week with Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel?
I did.
It was radio gold.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about. I'm so glad that is on What Mark Heard. So
yeah.
Go ahead, roll it, and talk about it,
and
set it up.
It's difficult to pick through, and again, this will leave us more time later to discuss further if you would like. But basically, I thought the most important and continuing theme throughout the interview was Don Cooper was hurt by the fact that the White Sox, and as he went on to say, fired him. Cooper lamenting how he loved the Sox, but they didn't love him back. Here's Cooper.
Oh, geez. Listen, I'm lucky, thankful, grateful for sure at the opportunity I had to, White Sox pitching is very important to me. There's a lot of people have come my way, and I'm glad for all of it. What I will say about the whole thing, I spent more than half my life there, and it's not fun. When people you really, look up to and admire and, care for, that's the best way to put it. Don't care for you as quite as much. It's not so much fun. That's my whole stay with the White Sox. I, again, more than half my life with the team. But that's my statement, I guess I'll say.
And he made many statements throughout that interview. It was one of the most skilled interviews I've heard in a long time. And there's been a lot of great interviews with all of our shows here on The Score. But what Parkins and Spiegel did by knowing they had to continue with that line of questioning, even though Cooper kept saying he didn't want to talk about it, and they skillfully continued to ask those kinds of questions. So other than raving about the interview skills of the fellows on the afternoon show, I will say this, that it's exactly how I thought Don Cooper felt. It's probably how everybody feels when they mutually part ways with an organization. However, the guy was the pitching coach for a big league ball club for 19 years. Was it 19 years or was it 18 years? Whatever. Decade plus. Don Cooper got every opportunity and more of an opportunity than almost all of the people that work in his position, whether a pitching coach or the next step would be a manager in baseball. So I don't think, although I loved hearing Don Cooper, I love the passion, and I feel bad for him, and I like him, and I hope he comes to work here at The Score. Don Cooper had 19 years to do that job here.
And he did, and he had put on his pitching staff put on a spectacular four-game performance, and he won a World Series. His pitching staff did. He made John Garland a keeper, and all kinds of things that went on there. And then he was fired. And what really came through was he was the spurned lover. He was the rejected. The rejected lover.
Yes.
And there was a spurting wound that will never even be reduced to oozing. It will never heal. And even if it does, the scars will have scars. And one of the things that I got from the, as you said, the skilled questioning by Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins was that Don Cooper was not done talking about it. Even as many times as he said he's done talking about it, he's not done talking about it. He has a lot of unfinished business, and it may always remain unfinished. And we get that. That's a love affair that ended badly. That's what that is.
Yeah. No, you nailed it, and you're right. There was more. I mean, they only had so much time, but the Cooper was there. As I like to say, there was a crescendo, and it was continuing throughout the interview. And, he got into all sorts of different things in regards to, like, how it ended, Ricky Renteria, and that final game and how much that affected things, modern techniques, all of that kind. And here's the other part that I think Cooper's feeling. Spurned lover, that's perfect what you said. And then also, it's like there's shiny new tools in this organization, and Don Cooper doesn't get to play with the rest of the kids. He got left off. He got cut, you know? Like, here they are. They're going into this new level. They're going into high society, and Don Cooper is just, all he's left with is James Shields. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it is for Don Cooper at this point.
Yeah, I'd flagged Don Cooper's name, and this was a couple weeks ago when I'd read Matt Davidson, you know, our old friend Matt Davidson, the pitcher.
Sure, third baseman.
Two-way play, right. So he's been on the mound with the Dodgers this spring, throwing a fastball, curveball, split finger. And his quote was, with the technology they have here, I'm sure I'll be throwing something else by the end of camp. I was up to 92 miles per hour with the White Sox with no throwing program. With all the weighted ball stuff and things they have going on here, I'm hoping to get it up higher than that. Now, a sneaky, snarky columnist would twist that and say, well, the White Sox were so far behind under the previous regime, I don't expect them to be that far behind now. This is the way teams get ahead. And Matt Davidson, who was in the looked at by the White Sox as a pitcher, was not exposed to all the things that the Dodgers have exposed them to. I don't know what's true and what's not, but he talks like a guy whose eyes have been opened to far newer technology, analytics thought that Don Cooper thought he was engaged in but wasn't. And the one thing we saw from Ricky Renteria, which I guess had Don Cooper's seal of approval, was a refusal to go to the opener idea, and when they were forced to go to it, their only excuse, they bumbled it so badly, their excuse was, well, we didn't expect Crochet to get hurt. Well, that's because you had no experience dealing with a guy who might have gotten hurt in the regular season in that situation. Then how do you ad lib? How do you come back from that? How do you limit the damage? And they couldn't. And I believe that played a massive role in both of them being shown the door.
Yeah, but I still think, too, that some of the responsibility, the culpability for that has to fall in the hands of Rick Hahn, because how does the general manager not know the plan going into that game? I mean, he must. He must. What I'm saying in a very, and I'll say it in a really short, concise way, he had to have, Rick Hahn, signed off on all of that. So I don't leave him blameless. All right. I've been told that we have to wait a little while for the, I have one more cut. It's Olin Krutz that we'll get to later on, Steve, but we just don't have time
more.
In the next.
I want more.
It's coming soon.
Just one more cut. Okay. Yep. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Cody Westerlund about the Bulls. Maybe he knows why Wendell Carter Jr. sucks, because that's what we need to know. Why does he suck, and how? Mommy, make it stop. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Rohde. This is Saturday Suckage. So, of course, we're going to talk about the Bulls and Wendell Carter Jr., Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.